Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cara, acne can be tough. Whether your kid is just starting to get breakouts or has been struggling with them for years, there's a great product that can help.
Phyla is the ultimate game changer. It tackles acne right at its root cause, rebalancing the skin's bacteria and packing it with probiotic phages.
Phyla harnesses the superpowers of probiotics, tiny warriors targeting and wiping out the acne-causing bacteria. In studies, Phyla slashed acne-causing bacteria by a whopping 90%.
Phyla doesn't just fix acne you can see. It stops new breakouts in their tracks. It has no harsh chemicals and won't irritate or dry most skin. Phyla's three-step system is like a dermatologist-approved magic potion. Cleanse, apply serum, and moisturize twice a day.
As a special treat for our listeners, you can grab 25% off your first order of Phyla. Head over to phylabiotics.com, enter code PUBERTY at checkout, and kickstart your family's journey to acne-free skin. Check out the link in our show notes for quick access.
Hi, I'm Cara Natterson.
And I'm Vanessa Kroll Bennett.
And we are obsessed with flipping puberty positive.
Puberty is a stage of life best described as a roller coaster of physical and emotional shifts. It happens to literally every human being on earth. And it shouldn't be cringy. It should feel, you know, pretty comfortable.
Which is why we started this podcast and a newsletter, and why we film slightly ridiculous but informative social media videos.
It's why we have a brand that makes clothes that literally feel so comfortable, and why we write books too. Our latest is This Is So Awkward, Modern Puberty Explained.
We have built a universe of puberty positivity, and it all started with this podcast.
We are so happy that you're here.
Well, hello, Vanessa.
Hi, Cara.
I was going to open with a pun about betting. I was going to make you a bet. I'm not even going to do that because we're going to spend the next chunk of time talking about gambling, and it wouldn't be that funny for me to start with a silly little joke, would it?
I think if people are feeling stressed to be listening to an episode about kids and gambling, it might help relieve some stress, but often
it's not funny enough.
I was going to say, often the jokes involving your puns are not that funny.
I'm the funniest
except
person
to you,
I know,
except to you and me. No, yes. Except to you and me. And then to an audience of two. So let's frame this conversation, because I'm sure people are tuning in thinking, oh, well, this has nothing to do with me.
Not my child. Not me. Yes. I'm going to frame it a couple of different ways for you. The first way is I want to frame it in the context of driving around Los Angeles in the last couple of days, which I did. Every gas station I passed, every liquor store I passed has this neon sign in the window. You're nodding yes, because I think you're seeing the same thing. There are two lotteries that are hovering around $1 billion each in their jackpot, right? There's like, I think I'm going to get the names mixed up, but Powerball maybe is one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe Mega is one called Mega. One is $800-900 million jackpot, and one is north of a billion with a B. And everywhere I drive, and there are billboards up, and you can't win if you don't play. And I'm a sucker, just like everyone else. I'm like, oh, this is my chance, you know, and you rationalize it. If I win, I'll change the world. I'll do this. I'll do that. And you see people streaming in, and we're all vulnerable, right? It's a form of gambling.
Did you buy a ticket?
I did. I bought a ticket. Did you buy a ticket?
I've never bought a lottery ticket in my entire life.
It's so interesting. Like, I found myself getting sucked into that vortex thinking about this episode.
My grandmother was a very serious gambler to the point where she played the slots in Atlantic City, and she played the slots enough to comp her four children at the Tropicana in Atlantic City for a weekend, including whatever fancy dinner and fancy show there was. And she sealed her tax returns. They were delivered to my dad's accountant without my dad being able to see her tax returns. So he didn't know how much she was gambling. And wait for it. She was buried with a lotto ticket in her coffin. And the great fear.
Vanessa, I learn something new about you every day. I did not know this episode was going here. Okay.
And the great fear was, what if she won and it was in her coffin?
There was a movie years ago about a European movie. It was about a guy who was in a teeny tiny small town and won a huge lottery and died. And it was about like all the people who went after the ticket.
Was it the Irish? Was it the one in Ireland?
It was fantastic. But what's interesting is, so you recognize that lottery, playing the lottery is gambling. Most people would put it in its own bucket. They sort of, they call it something else. But there's this very long, wide spectrum of gambling in our society. I listened to all these podcasts in preparation for this episode, and many, many, many of them were released the week of the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is a gambler's paradise. And the betting that happens, as I learned both by listening to these episodes and talking to my kids and their friends, is that you're not just betting on who's winning the game. You're betting on, I mean, there are a million things you're betting on. Who touches the ball first, what the point spread is, you know, the first initial of the last name of the third kicker. I mean, whatever it is, it's increasingly detailed and almost random seeming. And these gambling sites, online gambling sites, and that's what we need to talk about in this episode. These online gambling sites allow for more and more and more access for everyone to gamble.
Yeah. So I want to end up there. I actually want to start with the sort of on-ramping.
Can I give you my second? That was going to be my second framing.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not so much an on-ramp as a, I want to pitch this phenomena as the 2024 version of shoplifting. And here's why. For years, I think at this point, I can say decades, for decades, I have talked to families about risk-taking behaviors and socially stressful scenarios that their kids will face. And I always have used the example of shoplifting. I'm like, oh, you know, your kid will be in a situation where they are either participating in shoplifting, asking to be a participant, or being asked to be a participant in shoplifting, right? Some version of that. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, the families look at me like I'm crazy. And they're like, shoplifting is not a thing today. And I will say, you know what? Just go ask your kid. And they come back and they say, I had no idea shoplifting was such a big thing still. And you and I have talked about shoplifting and, you know, the limbic system and dopamine hits in the brain and why it feels good to take that risk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the version today that I hear about from kids as frequently, frankly, a lot more frequently than I heard about shoplifting scenarios, is gambling. And I hear about it right around the same age. So the earliest gambling questions that I get from kids, and I think you're in this same boat too, is middle school kids who are starting to get access to gambling. And sometimes it's in person. It's a card game with some money on it. It's a golf game, a mini golf game. It's some, you know, with money on it. And sometimes now it's online gambling.
Yeah. And before they're ever actually spending money, and I have a story for you about that, they're playing games online, which are kiddie games, right? Like little kid video games that are essentially onboarding them, training them for a gambling lifestyle, for lack of a better thing. So I happened to see my then 10-year-old playing a game, which was essentially like playing the slots, but on a, I don't know, an iPad or a phone. And I was like, oh my God, this is a gambling game. He wasn't yet having to give over any money or rather put down my credit card, but he was gambling. It was a game of chance, and the, you know, the stakes got higher and the incentives got bigger, and we had to stop and have a conversation about that very thing.
And sometimes the stakes are a little bit lower or they look different. One of these podcasts I listened to talked about loot boxes, which I had never heard by name, but then when they described them, I was like, oh yeah, I know what that is. So it's a prize within a game that you win. And you can win it one of two ways. You can either play the game for hours and hours and hours, or you can buy it. Buying it is a faster, more efficient way, and it just right. gets you the loot box. And these loot boxes are being called onboards to online gambling.
So that's a really good segue to what happened in my house. So lest any of you imagine listening to this podcast, and if you've been listening to this podcast for all three seasons, you will know we do not profess to be perfect parents. The term parenting expert makes us laugh hysterically. We are just as fallible and make just as many mistakes as anyone else listening to the podcast. And I will give you the perfect example. My husband got his credit card bill, and there was a, wait for it, $500 charge, repeated charges on his credit card bill from our Xbox that our then 12-year-old had just charged, done these loot boxes, a version for one of the sports games he was playing. And he was like, great, let me just buy my way to the next level, or let me pay for more firepower or whatever it was. And we had no idea until the credit card charge came through. And then it was like, A, we suck and we're terrible parents because this was a lot of money. Thank God it wasn't thousands of dollars, which I have heard of, but it was a lot of money. It was going to take him many years to earn it back with his allowance. And don't worry, we figured out a way to deal with that. But also, like, we didn't realize what was going on, and we didn't realize the conversation we needed to have with our kid.
Vanessa, we literally have 3 minutes to eat lunch every day. I am not joking. And the challenge is how to make it delicious and healthy and still fit into that tiny window. Our answer is Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They have been a godsend.
We throw our Factor meals in the microwave. It takes 2 minutes and out comes a gorgeous, fresh, never frozen meal. We both love the tamale vegetarian one. It's delish. There's a ton of options every week. There's 60 add-ons, breakfast, snacks, beverages. I love doing the wellness shots with my kids. They think it's hilarious. And I know they're getting vitamins and minerals in their bodies.
So get meals on your table or at your desk in 2 minutes or less. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. You can customize with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can press pause or reschedule depending upon your lifestyle.
So to order, go to factormeals.com/puberty50 and use the code puberty50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That code is puberty50 at factormeals.com/puberty50 to get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box. And I am going to go do that right now because I need more Factor meals in my refrigerator. Cara, lately I have been lying awake at night. I'm physically exhausted, but I can't sleep because my mind is so wired with everything going on between work and my family. So I've added Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, and it actually helps calm my mind. It helps me get better sleep, and I wake up feeling better rested. I'm less cranky, and I'm more patient with my family and with you.
Oh, I've noticed. And it's because, unlike other magnesium supplements that might give one or two formulations of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough has seven. That's why you're sleeping so well and waking up refreshed. Now, dietary supplementation is always best, Vanessa. So that means eating your minerals and vitamins is the best way to get them in. But if you can't or you don't get enough, Magnesium Breakthrough is the way to go. It can also help digestion, though too much helps your digestion too much, which is not a good thing. It can support muscle recovery. So bye-bye, Charlie horses. And it helps build dense bones, which is especially important for women approaching and in menopause.
We have an exclusive offer for our listeners. You can go to buyoptimizers.com/puberty, buyoptimizers.com/puberty. And you can use the code PUBERTY10 during checkout to save 10%. That promo code is PUBERTY10 at buyoptimizers.com/puberty. Your body and brain and family and business partner will thank you.
Cara, my kids love Magic Spoon cereal. And even though it's cereal, they actually love it as a homework snack. The variety pack has four flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. And fruity is the favorite flavor in my house.
Now, this pack has 0 grams of sugar, between 13 and 14 grams of protein, and between 4 and 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and it's high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So a great choice, Vanessa.
You can go to magicspoon.com/puberty to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our, you guessed it, promo code puberty at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident you're going to love their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. They do not want you to send their cereal back to them.
Try a bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/puberty and use the code puberty to save $5. So this is, I think, the first teachable moment of this conversation we're having. And we're, you know, in preparation for this conversation, we both learned a lot because even we, you and I, Vanessa, who talk 8 hours a day, we have not talked about gambling until recently. And we both thought our experiences were one-offs. And it turns out that the experiences that our kids are having are very similar across the country. And the experience that many, many, many of their friends who live nearby and also who live anywhere in between are very, very, very similar. And this is an underreported phenomenon. It is a huge part of adolescence right now. My anecdotal data would suggest it is more male skewed than female, but it's not fair data because I have not done any sort of research study. But when I engage kids in conversation, this is a place where the boys will engage in conversation very quickly, right? Yep, do you have that same experience?
Totally.
And I don't know that the girls aren't doing it. They may just not be engaging in conversation, or they may be doing it in different ways. I don't know, but there's not a lot of data. Can I share some data that there is?
Yes.
Okay. So in January, Mott Children's Hospital, which is in Ann Arbor, Michigan, released results of a national poll. And they went and they sampled parents of teenagers between the ages of 14 and 18. And this is a unique study because a lot of the data out there looks at 18 and up because kids who are over 18 are sometimes easier to survey. You grab them on a college campus, you grab them at work, you grab them wherever. Mind you, the legal age for gambling, I think everywhere, is 21. Lawyers out there, correct me if I've got that wrong, and Vanessa's going to Google it right now. But certainly, there's much more data over age 18. So this was parents of kids between 14 and 18. Okay, here are some numbers that are pretty interesting. So the first is, when the parents were asked about their own behavior, about a third of them said that they or another adult in their house participate in online betting. Okay, so 1 out of 3-ish adults in any given house are doing this. Okay. 2 out of 3, 63%, said they've seen or heard ads for online betting. So I would be in that 63%. I've seen and heard ads constantly for online
betting. I'm surprised it's not like 99% of our, you can't watch a sporting event without or like the Oscars.
Yeah. Without... I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Okay.
Just to clarify. So the legal age for sports betting and casino gambling is 21 generally, but things like the lottery, fantasy sports, and horse betting is commonly 18.
And commonly because now...
It varies by state.
State by state. Yes. So I want to get to that, which is in this study. Thank you for clarifying that. This study, they looked at the percentage of parents who actually knew their state's rules. 55% do not know what the law is in their state. I'd clearly be in that 55%. Yep. Two of us. We're two for two in that 55%. Two-thirds of parents think that the legal age should be 21 and up. 22%, okay, more than one in five, think that kids between 18 and 20 should be able to do online gambling, okay? And 11% say you should never be able to do gambling online at any age, full stop. Okay, this is the most stunning statistic. Are you ready? 2% of the parents responding in this study think their kids have been online gambling. 2%. And when you break it down by gender, it's 3% of boy parents and 0.5% of girl parents. And 55%, remember that 55% that didn't know the rules? Yeah. 55% think they would totally know if their kid was online gambling. They're sure they would know. Whereas 16% are like, yeah, I'm going to answer the question, but I don't think I would know either way.
I love that 55% think they would know. It's like the people who are like, I'll know when my kid is deciding whether to have sex. It's like, no, you won't. Maybe like a few percent of people will know, but there's no billboard advertisement being taken out for any of those things. So here's what's interesting, and here's what people may not think about. The fantasy sports leagues that our kids are in are betting. They are betting. Now, they're not necessarily betting online. They are using online resources to bet potentially amongst themselves, not in a pool that is contributed online.
This is very important. So can you explain, break that down for people who don't understand how it works?
So there's a variety of ways to join a fantasy sports league. You can create a league with a group of people that you know under the auspices of a larger fantasy organization, like ESPN has one, Yahoo has one, all sorts of big media companies have organizing structures for fantasy leagues. And then let's say, you know, you get a group of people together from your school grade or your camp or whomever, and you pick your teams and you compete throughout the season. Now, you don't have to put money in, you don't have to pay for it, but what kids often do is create a pool of money amongst themselves, not online, right? They're not formally doing sports betting online, but they are betting against each other like you would in a poker game at somebody's house on a Saturday night, using these organizing fantasy leagues as their way of competing.
So for instance, if you and I entered a fantasy football pool, which would not be a wise move for me, it would look something like this. I go online, I use the structure of the app, usually app-based, to pick my team, et cetera. And then I give my $5 or $10 to the person who's organizing our pool, not online, not digitally. I give them my actual $5 or $10 and they hold on to the money. And then the winner gets a certain, and they decide their rules internally, right? The winner gets a certain amount.
Right. The winner gets a certain amount, maybe second and third place. The loser usually
has a punishment. Yes, there's a punishment. Yep.
And so I say this in boring detail just to make people aware that your kid may be in a fantasy football league and you're like, oh, well, they're not betting. And yet they are, because they're organizing the money separately, but there is a whole betting component to it. And yeah, there's potential upside. There's also potential downside. So if you hear, like in terms of Cara thinking about conversations to have with a kid, if your kid says, hey, I need dinner to end by 7:30 tonight because I've got a fantasy football draft, that should set off bells for you to say, oh, I need to ask questions like, huh, are people putting money in for this fantasy football league? Who wins? What happens to the loser? You know, what are the rules there? All of the sort of things that you might not think to. And now, listen, I have a brother who is basically was the star of the biggest fantasy football league show in the history of the world, the only and biggest, The League, which totally glorified fantasy sports and showed all sorts of shocking behavior. It does not reflect who he is as a person. So I happen to know all of the terrible stuff that can go along with being in a fantasy league and that kind of betting.
Couple of comments. The first, just a side comment. The only time I have ever seen my child volitionally put on a suit and tie was for his fantasy football draft meeting. I was like, what is happening? What are you, where are you going?
Commissioner.
I mean, it's wild. Okay. So just a side note, if you don't know where they're going and they're wearing a sport coat and a tie or a suit, like that's okay. The second thing though, is to your point about conversation. So let's get into this because the Mott Children's Hospital survey went on to ask parents, how many of you talk to your kids about gambling? And the number surprised me. It's actually higher than I thought, given that only 2% of parents thought their kids would actually be doing it. A full 25%, and yet only 25% of parents have talked to their kids about any aspect of online gambling. And the reason we're doing this episode is that we believe that this has become one of the talks that we need to be having with kids during adolescence. Online gambling is a risk for them. And it is a risk because some of them, many of them, lose money. And some of them lose a lot of money. And addiction comes in many different forms, but we know very clearly that there's gambling addiction. We also know very clearly that there is a lot of comorbidity between gambling addiction and other types of addiction. And as I've been doing a little bit of research, I mean, it sort of spans the whole gamut of eating disordered behavior all the way through to drug and alcohol use is associated with gambling addiction. So whether this is a gateway addiction or just a flag that your kid is at risk for other things, you know, the brain is both incredibly complex and also very simple and elegant. Dopamine feels good. And gambling, when I bought my lottery ticket, I am embarrassed to say, when I bought it, I could feel the hit of dopamine. Then it was followed by whatever the neurochemical is that causes shame. Because I was,
shame.
Oh my God, the, you know, I just couldn't believe that I'd done it. So this is really important to talk about. And like everything else, the conversation about gambling cannot be one of judgment. It has to be one filled with curiosity and openness. It has to be a back and forth. You're about to learn a lot. You will learn a lot about how kids socialize. You will learn a lot about your own kids' risk tolerance. You will learn a lot about how finances work for your kids. One article I was reading was talking about what percentage of kids have their own bank account. It's really not that easy for a middle schooler to get their own bank account. It is not hard for them to set up a Venmo or another online currency exchange. And so you got to start asking.
So the other thing to keep in mind, again, when we think about legal age and online betting, and the fear with online betting is you can kind of keep going and keep going. And if you've got a credit card in place, and all of a sudden, you're thousands of dollars in debt, right? So it's like QVC, right? It's so easy to shop. You don't even feel it. You don't even see the product coming in or, you know, the money you're spending. And then all of a sudden, you spend thousands of dollars. But again, there's another kind of gambling that kids do, which uses an online capacity, but the money changing hands isn't necessarily online. And that's betting over video games. Mm-hmm. So like they play each other in FIFA or Madden or any of these games that they play, maybe even in person. Like they may be sitting together in a dorm room or in a basement playing these games and they are betting against each other and money is changing hands. So again, if people think, oh, well, my kid's just playing, you know, on their PS4 or their Xbox, have the conversation. So there's a few scenarios, Cara. There's the younger kids who are playing games that don't actually involve money, but is essentially training them to play gambling games.
Like
without
gambling
the money.
Grooming.
Yeah. And it sounds gross. And it is gross. And it is insidious.
Yeah.
So you want to know what games your kid is playing, just like you want to know what TikToks they're watching or things like that. So you want to have the volume on, have them in a public space, get elbow to elbow, check out what they're playing, talk to them about what it is. If your kid is in a fantasy league, sports league of some sort, you want to find out what the rules are. Did people put money in?
And this is really important because these fantasy leagues can be social entree points. A lot of kids' friendships get cemented when they've bonded over a slew of games that happen over the weekend in the fantasy scenario, right? So fantasy, you build your own team with players from all these different other teams, and it's the amalgamation of everything that goes on, which is then very bonding because there's a rank order and there's everyone's talking and
there's something to talk about.
There's something to talk about.
It's like literally all they talk about for months is fantasy football. And it's not that you want to take that away from them. I mean, I find it boring AF, but I'll sit there and talk about it because that's
Vanessa,
what they want to talk about.
March Madness. We're in the middle of it right now.
Oh, actually really into March Madness because the women's March Madness is so good that I'm like, I have spent hours and hours, but I didn't do a bracket.
And some people do a bracket and there's no money on it. And some people have money riding on it. So like there's a whole series of ways to do it, but these are just conversations and I want to make sure when adults are having these conversations, they don't start the conversation from the perspective of you'll never bet, will you? Because there may be a scenario for a kid. And in fact, I'd be willing to bet, sorry for the pun, that there is this scenario for many kids, which is here, just pay $2 to come in and we'd really love to have you in our league. And it's like, what do I do as the kid? It's $2. I know it's not okay with my parents, but this is what everyone in my class seems to be doing. And I really want to be in on this game. And I am left out if I don't do it.
So we're not going to tell you what to do with your kid in that situation. But what we are going to say is understand by asking curiously, without judgment, without coming down like a sledgehammer, ask generally what's happening amongst their friends, in their grade, at their school. Gather information in a non-confrontational way. You are more likely to get more information than if you come right at them with judgment. Now, I want to have a caveat here.
Okay.
There are families who have been deeply affected by gambling addiction and by other forms of addiction. And this is a devastating, devastating reality. And we have an episode coming out with Jessica Leahy very, very soon where she talks about conversations with kids about addiction and her advice applies here where you can use your family history and you can talk about the scenario, not in a fear-mongering way, but in an informational way about the risks of addiction and the genetic predisposition to certain types of addiction. And that is critical. And I don't want to dismiss or minimize for these families what gambling has done to their families and their communities.
And I'll land here, which is don't forget the data at the top, which is that a very large percentage of adults are engaging in this behavior. This is a lot like the alcohol and drug conversation. They are engaging in it legally. And this is the modeling their kids see. And if that's you, you're going to have to figure out how you walk that line because it's legal for you. And because you have a fully mature and developed prefrontal cortex, and hopefully can start making decisions that are smart and long-term and consequential for yourself, decisions that maybe your kids cannot. So to hold a mirror up and recognize your own behavior as you toe into these conversations. And the last piece of advice, and this is a general piece of advice that applies to everything online, but gambling in particular, kids should turn off notifications from apps because notifications encourage behavior.
Yep.
And when notifications come from a gambling app, they increase the likelihood that a kid will re-engage with the app over and over and over again. So that is a lot of information.
And that you can make a rule with your kid's phone because the notification stuff is insane. And it's like dopamine hit after hit, and it's only feeding into it. We would love to hear your questions, your experiences. We are actually searching for an expert to come on to speak specifically on this topic now that we've kind of laid the scenario and the groundwork. So if you have someone in mind, if there's a researcher or a practitioner around this area, please send them our way. We would love to go deeper on this topic.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thanks, Cara. We absolutely love hearing your feedback and getting all your questions. So anytime you want to be in touch, email us at thepubertypodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for great puberty products like the Oom shorts or the Oom socks or the Oom bra, you get the theme there, go to myoomla.com. If you want more content, you love what we do on the Puberty Podcast, and you want to have us come speak or learn more about our book or subscribe to our amazing newsletter, The Awkward Roller Coaster, go to orderofmagnitude.co. Remember, it's .co because we don't have enough money to buy .com. Yet.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.